dimensions I bring, you have to go into the dimensional realm of being in the spirit, in higher wisdom. And then it'll trigger you to think with a higher consciousness. It'll trigger neuronal pathways, dendrites, axons will trigger and fire, and new thoughts will come. But you'll have to engage mystery to go where I'm going. See, revelation is what you know. Mystery is where you're expanding. Okay? And we can't keep hanging around with the revelation that we have. Although it can go deeper, it goes deeper by engaging more mystery. You know, like Christ and Him crucified, we know that, but there's mysteries in there. There's more to the cross than we've even thought of. So we've got to leave the familiar, the blood of Jesus. Communion is a mystery. We can stay with the revelation, oh yeah, it's the body, or we can go into the realm and go, wow, it's the DNA of the divine. What does that look like? How does it move into me and frame me up? So we have to learn to go beyond the first layer of interpretation into what the Hebrew tradition talks about, how every scripture has layers, right? And one of them is called the sod or the sod, which is the mystery, the concealed truth in the verse. So when you look at rabbis, how they teach, they'll teach on the different layers of a verse. The layer I teach on is the sod or the mystery, the counsel that's hidden within. So, yeah, so I'm going to pray. Father, I pray right now for great grace to be upon us all, that we may freely engage the secrets that you've prepared for us, because it gives you pleasure to give us the kingdom. I ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that the eyes of our hearts would be flooded with light to comprehend the mysteries, wow, the hope to which you called us. Ha, your incredible inheritance in the saints. I mean, we could park there and blow our minds on that one thing, that we need the spirit of wisdom and revelation to understand God's inheritance in you. What? And it doesn't even stop there. You know, the hope of his calling for you. What even is that? What has he actually called you to as an eternal being? As a transdimensional being, as Jacob's ladder, as something that is made in his image. Then you've got, what is his inheritance in you? So you're God's inheritance. What does that even mean? What is he looking for there? And then you've got, and the incomparably great power for us who believe. That inside of you is incomparably great power, which is greater than the black hole at the center of the Milky Way. It's bigger than you know, neutrinos and photons and explosions and stars. Wow, inside of you is, it says, incomparable power, which means inside of us there are things we need to start to discover. You know, Jean Goyon and many of the saints said that, you know, they said things like this: I looked for you without, but you were hidden within. These are profound mysteries that we need to explore these things. We need to explore the unsearchable riches of Christ in you. And there are things, and we mustn't be afraid of this. My heart. Is that we explode the consciousness of humanity so that it has a big enough platform for more of heaven to rest on. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. In other words, God can only rest on you to the degree that you expand your ability to dream. I almost couldn't talk then. I actually went, oh, Jesus. Oh. But you know, this wine is meant to be offensive. It offends the mind to open the heart, and it's a humiliation, because God's system is to go lower, is to go higher. the doors in the floor. We fall into a trance. We fall in love. And he deliberately framed up the wine to be quite offensive, I think. But if you embrace it, it becomes a treasure. It becomes a lifestyle of bliss. And blessed are they who are not offended because of me. Okay. In saying all that, I'm exhausted. It's hard work sometimes being whacked. I've been whacked all week. And it's hard work. It's hard work. I mean, all sorts of stuff just happened in the car on the way here. My mobile phone flew through the air and I was using it for my GPS. And somehow it managed to find the tiniest gap down the side of the seat. And I'm listening to her telling me how to get here. She's saying, but she's so quiet. She's like, turn left. And I'm like saying, speak up. I actually hope maybe had voice recognition. And I said, turn the volume up. And she's going, anyway, I made it here. It's a miracle. Rachel says, I don't know how you travel all around the world. It's a miracle that I get around airports. I mean, I literally get there. When Rachel's with me, I'm worse because I give up some of my concentration. She's my special needs provider. I've got so many stories about like funny situations we've got in. I've had to like, anyway, let's stick to the notes. I was with John Scotland in a restaurant in Cardiff and we were so whacked. His son was there filming us and stuff. And I told the waiter, I went up, I said, we are an ADD support group. And they were all Polish, so they were like, okay, yes, we look after you. Okay. Okay. So I'm going to go for it now. I'm just going to step out of that a little bit and step up into what I'm going to speak about. I kind of like just trust that you want to hear more because if you don't, it's fine. It's fine. We've got a long time together. We've got eternity of eternities to work it all out, right? So we're not in a rush. So there's no panic if 10 minutes is all you want right now. We can come back to it again. I'm also good at appearing in people's dreams. It's not something I deliberately do, but it happens frequently. Okay. All right. So culture of honor, this is important, is that when we're talking about these kind of revelatory truths, I want you to know that our relationship, and you guys have heard me say this, but we have to keep layering it. In this era, we're not gathering around doctrines. That's failed the church. That's created 1,000 schisms. Only Jesus is true theology. All of us are growing, which means all of us are wrong. Okay? So, we're all in deception. We are, because it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So your mind, everyone in this room needs their mind renewed, which means you're wrong. So I make you powerful, you're powerful, I'm powerful to think differently. There's no panic. If some of you don't think you can access some of this stuff, that's fine. If some of you do, that's fine. Work it out with Jesus. I'm very confident that when we look back at our lives, I remember I got rid of one of my journals from when I was younger, because in it was just petty doctrinal issues. And do you know what I look back on, and the bits that I ripped out of the journal and kept were photos with my kids, meals, encounters with God. None of it mattered. Just rip those doctrinal debates out and hold on to what really matters, love, family, connection, growing, dancing. You know, Churchill said, success is going from failure to failure with no loss of passion. So I think we've all been very successful in here. Welcome to the class of the successful. Because we've pretty much all gone from failure to failure with no loss of passion. So that's all that matters, right? Is that forgetting what's behind, we press on even further with Jesus Christ. That there's an unstoppable force on the inside of us that's not us. It's Christ in us compelling us towards greatness. Like Janine sang in the retreat we just did, Summer Advance, we call it, not retreat. I saw you in the future. I got video footage of it. It's so good. It's amazing. It's so catchy. The whole place is blowing up, the whole room. I saw you in the future and you look much better than you do right now. The truth is you do look. You're going to go from glory to glory, strength to strength. This is the worst you'll ever look. All right, moving on. So we're family, so let's all be powerful to, you know, let's not be insecure. Because the problem is, if we all have to agree on everything, we can't change. And then you split up with someone that thinks differently, because they're not part of your little group anymore. And what that's done is it's paralyzed the church. So let's stop being paralyzed. Let's be bold and courageous. Just be bold and courageous. For we've not been this way before. Yeah. Mistakes will happen. Just get up and keep going. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So here we go. Now I'm going to preach. It has begun. This is it. The preamble is over. The nibbles. The hors d'oeuvres. The lettuce wraps have been served. The bargees. Can we just wipe your mouth? You're ready for the next course. You're ready for the chicken tikka masala, pilau rice and naan bread to come in right now, okay? So let's move on. Can you guys smell chicken tikka masala all of a sudden? It's like, we just popped it out of the spirit realm by faith. Onion bhaji glory. Oh, mango poppadoms. Okay, now we've got that bit aside. Now let's move into the meat. The sizzling chicken tikka is sizzling now. Shashlik is moving into the room. So let's go on to the meat now. It smells good. It's fresh. Okay, so what I want to talk about now is, broadly, I'm going to talk about ascension and then narrow it down to how much God really wants you to be in the courts. I want to show you that he is compelling you to come into that place. Okay, that his desire for you to be there is stronger than your desire to go. All right? So let's just start with broadly. I want to say we're in an incredible time of great grace upon the earth. We're all across the earth. Books and films, you've read this in my Beyond Human book, are all saturated with the idea that we're multidimensional, that we're not limited, and that we're made for greatness. Marvel movies, whatever you want to look at, The Matrix, or all of these things are saying, and then science is mirroring this. Quantum physics is now becoming the normal way of seeing the universe. That we are in many, many dimensions of existence. So quantum physics, books are all about the supernatural. They're all about being more than we are. They're all about being like genetically different. That we're not just in these classifications. That there's people that break through that classification into greatness. And then thereby shift a whole culture. So kids' films are based around that idea, whether it's, you know, stuff like Harry Potter or whatever. I haven't read those books, by the way, but I'm not judging if you have. But those kind of things, to the other films, they're all about like the capability in us to be something more. Yeah. And the idea that we live in many dimensions of existence. Okay, so Mike Bickle said this from IHOP. Said, contemporary culture is crying out in hunger for transcendent reality. See, we have not been given the culture, the food that they want. Yeah. That's why they flock to the New Age fairs. They flock to dream interpretation. They flock to ascension activations. They flock to oils and all these things because they've got an appetite for reality. And what we do is we introduce them to a church structure where we try and educate them rather than bring them into an experience. But really, this culture is about experience. I taste and see. All right? So I believe God set us up for this. I believe that this is part of God's plan. Bill Johnson says this, the invisible realm is superior to the natural. The reality of the invisible world dominates the natural world we live in, both positively and negatively. Because the invisible is superior to the natural, faith is anchored in the unseen. In other words, if you want to move in faith, you need to move in the unseen. Because the unseen is where it's coming from. So I believe God's heart is for a generation to walk in the unseen. It's always been in scripture, but now it's been revealed. Whether it's through media, books, music, song, quantum physics, there's a cry saying, come up here. Rick Joyner says this, I really got a warning from God about how big the worldwide awakening is going to be and how unprepared for it we are. It is going to hit us like a tsunami, and we need to race right now to get to the high ground. That's a massive thing because the church thinks it can deal with what's coming here. You cannot deal with it with lower wisdom. You will start, you'll actually destroy the harvest you prayed for because you'll say it's new age, it's mystical, and you'll kill the thing that you've been given. And it will overwhelm us. And in fact, you won't have the spiritual authority or government to deal with anything. Because you won't know how to judge atmospheres. You won't know how to work with angels. You won't know how to land scrolls. You won't be able to see through cardiognosis. And you will not be able to handle this torrent of humanity that's about to come in. So we have to return to the high place. Because the word repent means revisit, go back, pent up. To flood it up to the high place, the penthouse. It means return to the high place from which you came. So we have to repent. I'm pent up. It has the idea of going up and returning to where you originated. Okay? So we are unprepared for it. And we need to race right now to get to the high ground. And that high ground is being seated with Jesus in heavenly places. That can't just be a doctrine. Rick Joyner's words. That just can't be a doctrine. We have got to be there and get ready for what is coming. Praise God, we've been going up. I know lots of you here have been going up. And it's changed us. It's changed the way we think. It's changed the way we function. It's changed the way we dream. About what's possible. I've noticed a big difference between people who ascend and how they dream about the world and people who don't ascend. The people who don't ascend are still being influenced by this and say that I can't get my head around it. That's not possible. And then people who go in the spirit back into Jesus, back into Yod Heh Vav Heh, it's like, why wouldn't it be possible? Because you've returned to the high place. Okay? This just can't be a doctrine. We have to go there and get ready for what's coming. So yes, I can't emphasize that enough. How important it is and how big it's going to be. It's going to be overwhelming. Yeah! I'm glad that God's given us a bit of prep time right now. To position ourselves to govern and be able to deal with what's coming. Which means we cannot be afraid of the supernatural anymore. Because the era of being afraid of the supernatural or neutral over it is over. Patricia King says, the cloud is moving, we should move with it. So we need to move from where we were in the charismatic move, which was awesome. I'm birthed out of the charismatic move. I encounter God in the charismatic move. And the prophetic movement, but we were never meant to stay there. Because the purpose of every movement was to teach us to move in heavenly realities. Enoch appeared to Rick Joyner and said this in Heavenly Encounter. He wrote about it in the Sword and the Torch book. And he said this, Enoch said, the purpose of every movement that has existed was to teach people to do what I did. And I think it's time that we stop making the standard, how good can we have it in a meeting, but let's go up and see how close we can walk with God. Let's see how much into the mysteries we can go, how much we can engage the seven spirits, how we can be seated in heavenly places where it's not a doctrine. You know what it's like to sit. Do you know what it's like to sit in the seat of rest? Yes, you do. I do. We should all know, because there have been times where I've been interceding and God shifted me and I'm on a throne and I make decisions with him. And then you see it in the news. That's what God was prayer. That's praying in the spirit. Praying in the spirit. There's a big difference between asking God to do something and you doing it. You know, I've shared this before, but Bill Johnson talks about this with when there was the storm and the disciples wake up Jesus. That's what the church does. God, wake up. God, you got to move. God, you got to act. God, you got to wake up. He wakes up and pulls himself out of the realm he was with the Father. And he says, peace. And then he turns to them and he says, why didn't you do it? See, we're praying for many things we should be engaging. So, for example, we're praying to see heaven, but we're not stepping into heaven. We're praying to know wisdom, but we're not going into the realm where wisdom walks. See, we're asking for things, and this is why we're not getting answered prayers, because we're trying to make God wake up to do something that we should do. Now, sometimes he'll do it for us, but that's breaking his normal behavior. That's not his normal pattern. His normal pattern is believe and come. Faith bypasses effort. Faith is superior to effort. See, you know, it's easy for us to justify our lifestyles if we park all of the promises in the future. But that's actually unbelief. That's faith in the inferior, saying time is now framing up my world. But God wants a company that rise up and dare to believe it all. Okay? All right. So we know in Scripture, God's desire to pull a generation up into Zion is on track. And it says in Isaiah chapter 2 and in other Scriptures, in the last days, many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. The next bit says, until it teaches the nations not to war. I don't know what you think about that. That's very different to what a lot of people are teaching. But they're contradicting. You know, other translations of this verse say, in the last days, God's mountain will be above the mountain. So it's another realm. It's a mountain above. And it says, many people say, come, let us go up into the mountain and he will teach us. But it says, in the last days, in the Tav, in the 22, in the end of an era when we're going into the Aleph again, into the new creation, at the end of the Tav, the end of this era, the end of days, seven is the number of Enoch. Enoch was the seventh. At the end, there's a company that will be like Enoch. But not just one or two, because Scripture says, many will say, come, let us. Notice it's us now. It's not the prophets, it's us. Whoa. Yeah, let us go up. And that's what we're mentoring people in all the time, isn't it? Going up. And the things you see. We were in the courts of the Lord last night on Skype with our different groups we connect with, in Scotland and London, praying over Donald Trump and Theresa May and the Brexit, right? And almost all the things we prayed were the headlines in today's paper. Even this thunderstorm, we prayed for this thunderstorm that there would be thunders and lightnings across the UK. And then you wake up today, I looked on the weather forecast, they said thunders and lightnings have been forecast right across here. And Donald Trump's saying the exact same thing, using the words we legislated and prayed in the courtroom. Okay. Okay, so listen, I've said many will say, we'll go up into the mountain of the Lord, but Bill Johnson says this: many Christians miss out on an encounter with God because they are satisfied. They are satisfied with good theology. I want to propose to you, the problem is we love information more than experience. And the reason is because the education system has programmed us. Because you'll have for example, you can go and study a degree with a professor teaching on business who's never owned a business. Never owned a business. And yet he's teaching degree level on business, but never owned a business. See, the problem is the education system didn't get you to experience it. They show you on a screen and want you to repeat back to them, but they don't take you to the ocean. They don't take you to the mountains. Imagine the school system if we had to experience everything we were taught. The Barrier Reef, you take the whole school. Imagine what it'd be like if businesses caught that. Airlines caught that, the airline sponsored flights every year that was to take children to experience the thing they've been taught on. See, but that's what the gospel is. The gospel is Jesus can bring you into the experience of the mystery where you taste it and see it. And we can't just be programmed by our culture anymore where we think just because someone taught us, we experienced it. There's a big, big difference between being taught and educated and experiencing for yourself. Yeah? You guys with me? So Bill Johnson says we can't just be satisfied with good theology. That's failing us. We need to start to move into the experience. So like I said, Enoch said, the purpose of every movement on the earth is to compel men to do what I did, to walk with God until they're more at home in the heavenly realm than on the earth. That is entirely biblical. Entirely biblical that Paul painted a picture where it's normal in the New Testament for you to be blessed in heavenly places, seated in heavenly places, wrestle in heavenly places, citizens of heaven, free access, come boldly before the throne of grace. You have come to Mount Zion. Come up here and see. The whole message of the gospel is Colossians 3, that you died and the secret of your life now is that you are wrapped up with Christ above. Colossians 3 in the Mirror Translation, pursue with diligence the consequence of being co-included with Christ. Relocate yourself mentally. Fill your mind with throne room realities. Taste of the heavenly treasures. Desire the heavenly things. Or, you know, quoting New King James, fix your eyes on things above, not on what is seen. Yearn for, desire, long for the things that are above. Seek those things which are above. Come boldly before the throne of grace. Come up, come up. You have come. You have come to Mount Zion. Yeah, that one truth. Positioning your thoughts into reality. That's repenting. See, your body will say, I'm just in this room. Your body will say, I'm in a prayer meeting. But you repent and you remember where you've come from. And you shift and you appear before God in Zion. And then the prayer is very different. The prayer is not the same when you're seeing these beings. Yeah. I'm not going to tell you what's there because you need to go and find what's there. But the amount of times we've just stepped in by faith, honouring. Thankfulness keeps the door open. Gratitude opens the door. Enter his courts with praise. Enter his courts with a grateful heart. Sing praises unto God. When you have a grateful heart, you have an open heart. When you have a grateful heart, you have a seeing heart. And the amount of times I've stepped through with gratitude, honouring that we can come into heaven. And then suddenly, I'm seeing an angel there. And I'm being overwhelmed with revelation. It's hitting me and I'm seeing God's intention for that prayer. And I'm not praying what I think now. I'm agreeing with the blueprint. See, wow! Can I just have a quick moment? See, this puts the joy back in the gospel. This puts the whack back in the gospel. This puts the excitement. Just think that any time you're praying, you're one step away from seeing a being. You're one step away from seeing the scroll open up. You're one step away from seeing Jesus. You're one step away from being anywhere in all of creation. You're one step away from being back in time watching a Bible story. I've got to go back in one story, and I was invisible. I just followed the whole thing, watched it all, felt the sun on my skin. Yay. Okay. So there's always been a few that responded, and we called them the saints or the mystics, but they were the ones who had the echo of Song of Solomon, which says this: Jesus speaks, run with me to the higher place. For now is the time to arise. In the secret stairway in the sky, let me see your radiant face and hear your sweet voice. He hid you on high in the secret stairway in the sky, in the cleft of the rock. And he calls you, says, let me. See, we're praying wrong. We're always praying about God coming. He's rent the heavens. It says the whole earth is full of his glory. But he sits in heaven now. And his prayer, can he pray? I guess Jesus prays, right? The Spirit groans. His one is, let me see you. Why won't you come up? Why won't you go up? Because it's too hard. Then go lower and say again, I know nothing. And then you'll find the door is open, for the door is in the floor. Okay. So, should we end there or go on to the next part? So I've broadly spoken about the fact that you can go in, that we've got to have a different mindset that embraces mysteries, that we can't be insecure, that we've got to be a family, we can go up, and that all of society is now believing in a multidimensional, that God's called a generation to go up into Zion. When you go up there, you change. When you go up there, you see. When you go up there, scrolls land, angels shift, things shake and break and move. And now I want to talk about God's desire for you to become a person that functions in the courts of God. Isaac Newton said this, I do not know what I may appear to the world, but to myself I seem to have been only like a boy playing on the seashore, finding a smoother pebble or a prettier shell than ordinary, whilst the great ocean of truth lay all discovered in front of me. Isn't that shocking that Newton, who landed so much scientific theory, said that they were pebbles, but the ocean of truth was just in front of him? I want to be one that plunges into the ocean of truth. I want to be one that's not satisfied with pebbles, physics here, or knowledge here. But I want to plunge into the limitless ocean, into the places where I've never been. So God's calling us into the courtroom. And I just want to focus on one passage. Last time I preached, I focused on Job. I'm going to focus on Zechariah 3. Now, many of you know this passage and you've heard us teach on it, but I'm going to go into it in a different way tonight. So this is the scenario. Zechariah is allowed to see in the spirit a group of people going up into heaven and join them. So there's a group ascension. And Zechariah wasn't supposed to be with them, but he knows how to get there. It's awesome, isn't it? Don't get offended. We got free access, right? If they're going up, anyone's going up, you can join them. Yeah? Yeah, okay, just let's be okay with that. So then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. I love this. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Come on. Now Joshua was clothed in filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I've removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. So how do you get clothed with rich robes? You go up. You go up. You just go up. And he takes off your thinking, your ways, and he puts on royalty. Royalty is the fruit of ascension. Wow. And this is cool. Zechariah butts in and he gets to write about it in his own book. And I said, I love this. Let them put a clean turban on his head as well. Imagine that. This is a real encounter. It doesn't say this is parabolic as such. It is parabolic over Jesus being like Joshua. But it's a real encounter where a group of them have gone up into Zion, like Exodus 24, where the 70 elders went on the sapphire stones with their bodies. Don't let anyone tell you your body can't go up. That's contradicting scripture. Right. They go up in, and Zechariah shows up, and they've just cleaned him up. Jesus is there. This is the boldness and freedom in the presence of the Lord. You've got Jesus as the angel of the Lord. He's told him to take off the things. The angels have done that. And he comes in and says, put a clean turban on his head. And the angels listen. So do angels listen to people in ascension? Why a turban? Because it was about the way he thinks. Because the way you think determines the world you see. Now listen to this. It says the iniquity is the word avon, which is the depravity and the guilt is removed. With Abba, the word removed means it's perished, ceased to exist, obsolete. It's removed fully. So all his iniquity is destroyed through ascension. And he's clothed with royal robes. Yeah. Listen to this. Colossians 1:22. Christ the Messiah reconciled you to God in the body of his flesh through death in order to present you. He presents you when you ascend. He says to present you holy and faultless and irreproachable in his Father's presence. When Jesus sees you come in, he grabs you and it says he presents you faultless. Wow, beyond reproach in the Father's presence. That's where you get the victory, see, for a lot of the prayers you're dealing with. See, if you're not coming into that innocence, the enemy can trade into your guilt or shame or condemnation and creates these warfare scenarios. But when you return to Zion, when you repent, you're declared innocent in the sight of Satan. And that's why we court cases get won. Because there's no legal basis when the judge says you're innocent. Colossians 1:2, with no sense of guilt, suspicion, no sense of guilt, regret or accusation, all charges against us are officially cancelled. Officially, not just cancelled, officially cancelled. And then what does it say? It says, who then would dare to accuse those whom God has chosen in love to be his? God himself is the judge who has issued his final verdict over them, not guilty. That's the Passion Translation. The mirror says, no one can point a finger. He declared us innocent. No one can point a finger. I'm trying to preach the curtains, see if I get a response. Okay, help me, Lord, to get more. Let it crack open our consciences more, because this one point will help you. Because 90% of what you're struggling in when you're in that situation, in you're alone with God, is does he receive me? If you get a revelation of innocence, you are 90% already in that realm. Just that one thought alone will bring you into his arms. That one thought alone will take you to the secret stairway. That one thought alone, that I am innocent as he is innocent. We belong together. We belong together. Yod he, vav he. Yod he, vav he. We belong together. I'm so glad for songs like that that have been written now in Britain. That's one song from the Glory Company. We're starting to, because what we sing and focus on will be our experience. What the eye hooks into multiplies. We need, I've said this before, and I'm not trying to offend anyone, but we need to get rid of a lot of the songs we've been singing. Because they are not new creation songs. They create distance, delay, separation. Wow, and then that's what we experience. Why don't we sing about that we are righteous as he is righteous? We are innocent as he is innocent. If all we keep singing about is how we're sinners all the time, we frame it up and give it weight. And sin is separation, and it's the law of sin and death. And that's why death comes. But it says, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free in Jesus Christ, free from the law of sin and death. That's why I'm loving these songs. We're in him. He's in us. We're one with him. We can come and see him. We're even back in the beginning. So listen, it's so powerful that even when you go there, it says the Holy Spirit aids us in our weaknesses, in our prayers, with his prevailing intercessions. Since his intercession is in accordance with God's will, he alone knows his full significance and power. But there is one thing which we do know, that is that all events cooperate to secure the final good for all believers. Now, it's interesting about the kind of intercession that the Lord does when you're there. It's like you can't even put into human words. It's not, Lord, help Justin or help Trevor. It's, it's beyond human language, right? So the word for intercessor there, the root word of it is actually hyper. It's pronounced hooper, but it's spelled hyper. And it means this, going beyond the accusation, superior, exceeding, bending over to shield and defend on one side to cause favor and further their cause. So listen to other translations. The Passion says, the Holy Spirit rises up within us to super intercede on our behalf, pleading to God with emotional sighs too deep for words. Wow, sounds like God's really emotional about you. Oh. The Mirror says this, he supersedes our clumsy efforts and hits the bullseye every time. What does that mean? It means this, and I've learned this from the courtroom. When I go into the court, it triggers the case, but God mediates. So even if I come out and my words are clumsy, Holy Spirit and Jesus form an arc over me, and they super intercede to land the scroll. That's what it means when he lives to do intercession for us. But you trigger the intercession by being present, because you being present creates the case. And then God goes, the amount of times I've done a court case for a situation, and then I've said, Lord, thank you that you mediate and you change my words into language of the courts. And I just see Jesus like going, whoa. Holy Spirit going, whoa. And I'm in the middle of a symphony of God engaging in himself. This is good stuff. I'm having another moment. Oh, man. I can see the chicken tikka masala flying through the sky. We're getting meat now. We're getting meat now. Why wouldn't you go there? Why wouldn't you go there? Why go there? Just go there. Just make it a discipline. Make it a practice of being in his presence first, being in the Spirit, and then step in by faith. By faith, Enoch went. Okay. I love the fact he super intercedes. That sounds amazing. I'm just going to say that again. He supersedes, super intercedes. It's hyper. Hyper prayer. Do you know how far removed this is from so many prayer meetings we've been in? People have often asked me, how did you speak like that and it shifted? It's because of where you position yourself determines the realm of influence. See, if you're here going, oh God, please, it's actually disrespecting him. Because you've not positioned yourself in him to where it all flows. And we wonder why those prayers don't get answered. It's because we're not listening to what he teaches us to do. Okay. Wow. Moses is a good example of someone that stood there and with a few words could change an outcome. Samuel, Abraham, Rhys Howells. Jean Goyon, Catherine of Siena. Okay. Nearly done. So, let's just go a little bit further. I know I'm giving you a lot. Maybe I should stop there. Maybe it's like we're starting to get full of chicken tikka masala. The naan bread doesn't look so good right now. Okay, I think I'm giving you meat tonight because I've determined I will not lower the standard. I will not lower it. I think we need to raise the standards. Let's raise the standards. Come on. Let's not demean the gospel. Let's have the courage to believe it all. So this is what happens next. And this is where I want you to get the passion of God's heart. So they're in the spirit. Zechariah said, give a new turban. He's just been cleaned. You're innocent. You've gone up into heaven. I want you to imagine this is you. You've gone up into heaven. You've been declared righteous. You've been stripped off of your past, your experiences. It's been removed and put out of sight, destroyed. You've been clothed as a king now. You've got a new thing on your head. You've got to think differently. You're a king now. You have to actually see your body, what it looks like, because you are clothed in light. You are wrapped in light. Because he clothed himself in light and he clothed you in light. Now, this is what happens, and this is so powerful. Trevor, maybe I'm going to use you for this. Could you come and stand by here? You've just come into your ascension experience. The angels have ministered to you. And this is what Jesus says, the angel of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of the angel armies. If you will walk in my ways, and if you will keep my command, then you'll also judge my house. And likewise, I will actually give you charge of my courts to decide what happens here. And I will give you free access to always walk here. And I will give you the power to talk to those who stand by, and they will listen to your words. Is that a dynamite promise? Yeah. I mean, stay there a second. This is what I want to emphasize. Let's listen to it in another translation of the message. Orders. This is where you see the passion of God, right? He's not just saying it in the way I was, reading drunkenly. He's saying this. Orders of God and the angel armies. If you live the way I tell you, I'm going to tell you, it's okay. You're not on your own. And remain obedient to my service. That means literally walk with me, arm in arm. Then you'll make the decisions around here and you will oversee my affairs and all my attendants standing here will be at your service. Now let's read it in another translation. This is what the Lord all-powerful says. Live the way I tell you. Trevor, live the way I tell you. Do everything I say. I'll be with you in this. And you will be in charge of my temple, and you will take care of its courtyards, and you will be free, listen to this, you'll be free to go anywhere in my temple, just as these angels standing here are free. Notice what we're hearing. Charge of my courts. Freedom of access. Now listen to it again in another translation. If you, oh Trevor, if you truly obey me, Trevor, if you truly obey me, trust me, I'm with you. I'll put you in charge of my temple, including all the courtyard around, and you will be allowed to speak at any time with the angels standing beside me. My angels that overshadow me, you'll be allowed to talk to them anytime you want. And these angels know a lot and have walked far with me. So I'll break it down. The promise is this, is that if you go into Zion, you'll hear the Lord saying these words. And he says, you will make the decisions, so you can make decisions in heaven. You will judge, which means you will be the judge in court situations as well as go into court situations. You will oversee my affairs, which means you'll get to know the family business really well. You will be free to go anywhere in this dimension at any time you want. Because you belong here and I've given you free access. You will be able to speak freely. Now people say to you, Trevor, in the earth that you can't talk to angels. Let me tell you a higher truth. Thus says the Lord of the angel armies. You will be able to speak freely with the angels, which means you will have a relationship, a friendship, and an intimacy like I do with angels. And you will be allowed to speak with them as you are even speaking to me now. And these witnesses that stand by, these cloud of witnesses, will also engage you and work with you to fulfill my decree. And these angels that stand by that are in my service will now also be in your service. This is what he says. I can't express enough. I'm using the Hebrew now, the root words. I've written this, but this is what the root words mean. I can't express. I can't. Trevor, I can't express enough. How my heart aches for this to be your reality. Thank you, Father. Let's pray for Trevor. Father, we pray that everything that's just been spoken would be his inheritance and his portion like Caleb, that you are giving him the hill countries in the latter years of his life, that he is one who is appearing before God in Zion and standing in the courts and justice system, walking with the angels and having charge of your house, that he now has an inheritance in the hill country. And walks with those who stand by freely, any time and any place. Amen. You can never be alone. You are surrounded. You are surrounded. You are surrounded. Help is there and help is on the way. So I'm kind of wrapping this up. Is the angel of the Lord, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, admonish Joshua, and that word admonish means this, and it's so powerful. I've spent ages meditating on this. It means he repeats over and over what I just spoke. It means you're not hearing me, and it actually means this, that he testifies by reiteration. And imagine this is Trevor standing here now, and he goes around you. It actually means he goes around you, encompasses you, surrounds you, and the actual root word means to restore you back to who you are. And he walks around you, the angel of the Lord. This is what happens when you go into this dimension. Jesus, in the form of the angel of the Lord, admonishes you with the words I just spoke. if you will walk in my ways. But it says he encompasses you and surrounds you and repeats it until it begins to form a house in your consciousness, until it becomes a house in your thinking, until it becomes a realm in your mind. And as it has weight in your heart, it has expression in the earth. And he starts to create a house by speaking over you over and over again. Follow me. Walk with me. Have charge of my house. Walk with me. I will expand you. Walk with me. Go with me. Walk with me. And you will speak to the angels. Walk with me. And he admonishes and he pleads. And it comes from a deep, and it's a witness. And it also means to warn you that this is not trivial. I warn you that I'm not wasting my words. I believe in you, and I am not a God who wastes his words. And I warn you, listen. I warn you, please listen. Listen to the call that I put on you. Did I not call you kings and priests before my God? Then my God has become your God, and you are the kings and priests in Zion. You are seated in Zion. You are born from Zion. You belong in Zion. Take your place. I believe in you. I believe in you. I've made room for you. I've made space for you. I implore you. I remind you. I plead with you. Come and be the real you who I've called you. Did I not say you are kings? You are kings. You are kings. You are kings. My God has become your God, and to him you are priests and kings forever. And I have qualified you. The blood then speaks, it says in the courts. So the blood says, you're innocent. Remember where you came from. Remember who you are. You are innocent. You are loved. You belong. We will teach you. You need no manual to come here. You need no instruction book. Just come as you are. Come innocent. Come like a child. Come as a novice. Come as one who knows nothing. I make you righteous. I clothe you as a king. I give you wisdom. I give you strength. Yes. That's it, Kathy. You're getting it. That's your authentic design. That's who you are. That's who you are. Can you feel it? The word is admonish. His heart burns. His heart burns. If you will walk, then it says, the word translation says, if you bind yourself to me. That's all I want. Who wants to bind themselves to me? If you bind yourself to me, bind yourself to me. Join me. I will teach you. I will be all you need. I will be to you wisdom. I will be to you understanding. I will be to you righteousness. Let's walk this out together. I'm so committed to you. I so love you. I've dreamed of you. I've wanted you. Let's do this together. Walk with me. And come into my flow. That's what it means. Come into my flow. Flow. The flow of life. And then you will walk according to my teachings. And it literally means, the root word here means that you will come into the continual conversation. I welcome you to the continual conversation. I welcome you to the continual conversation. Thank you, Lord. There's a lot more I could say. But I don't have to tell you the rest. It's never been our role to do that. It's been our role to invite you into the reality that you walk with him and you enter the continual conversation. And then he will teach you how to judge his house and his courts and the dimensions that exist in creation. For you are limitless. You are limitless. For if any man be in Christ, there is a new creation. And the old is gone. Look, the new has arrived. Amen. Amen. Amen.